At Wesley Biblical Seminary, we believe God is raising up a movement across our nation and around the world who hold fast to the inerrancy of Scripture and the hope of holiness. We do this through bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees, certificate programs, and even training for lay people. So whatever your next step is in being equipped for ministry, we're here for you. And if you believe these are the kind of pastors we need leading churches in the future, we invite you to think about giving to Wesley Biblical Seminary. Learn more about us at wbs.edu.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Hope you're having a great Wednesday morning. Wanted to read to you from Jude chapter 1. Actually, it's just Jude because Jude is only one chapter. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. He's also the brother of Jesus, the half-brother of Jesus, but he doesn't mention that. He just calls himself a doulos, a slave of Jesus Christ. To those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ, that's all believers. You and I are beloved in God the Father, and we're kept for Jesus Christ. May mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. You know, when you write a card to somebody and you put a scripture verse down, Jude 1:2 is a good scripture verse. May mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. And then he says this, beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, he was wanting to write a letter just to encourage them and build them up in their common salvation. He said, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. Fight for the faith. Fight for the truth of the gospel. Why? Because it is so critical and the devil is attacking, and without the truth, a man, a woman, a boy, or girl cannot be saved. Jesus said in John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The truth shall make you free. My book, The Devil's Newsroom, Muting Satan's Fake News and Tuning Into God's Truth, is all about shining the truth of God's Word on the lies of the enemy. And it is so critical. That's how we are to live our lives. We are to walk by faith and not by sight. And we are to fight and contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all handed down to the saints. And he says this, this is why, for certain persons have crept in unnoticed. They slipped into the water, kind of like you see an alligator or a crocodile. They just slip into the water without even making so much as a ripple. They have crept in unnoticed, those who are long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons. And what do? They turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and to deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. They turn the grace of God into a license to sin. Now, as you heard at the top of the hour, I love the American Family News that they give us at the top of the hour, just hitting on all these things that are important for today for us to know about. One of the things that we heard about was Gay Pride Month, and it's a whole month. I saw something from Joe Rogan where he posted Rob Schneider, the comedian, and he was saying, we have a day for this and a day for that. We have Veterans Day, we have Memorial Day, we have celebrate Lincoln and George Washington. It's just a day. They share a day. But he said, we're having a whole month for gay pride. He said, didn't say this, but he's indicating how ridiculous and upside down have we become that we do that, that we celebrate sin. I saw a meme today on X, and it was posted, and it was a picture of a rainbow, and it said, you know, the rainbow is a sign of God's covenant. It's not a celebration of sin. It's a sign of God's covenant. God said, I'm told Noah, I'm going to put my bow, my rainbow, in the sky as a sign of the covenant that I will not destroy the world again with a flood. Now, God doesn't say he's not going to destroy the world again. He will, but not with a flood. It was water the first time. It's going to be fire the next time. There was a song I liked that said, there's going to be a fire one day that the fireman can't put out. And 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us that God is going to destroy the world with fire. But the audacity for those who are promoting gay pride and having this rainbow flag to represent homosexuality, you know, it's just so upside down, because the rainbow represents God saying, hey, you know, you are living that way. Every intent of the thoughts of men's hearts was only evil continually, it says in Genesis chapter 6, and God was grieved in his heart that he made man and set him on a blot out man from the face of the earth for all sorts of sins. The earth was full of wickedness. It was full of violence. It was corrupt. God says to Noah, the earth has become corrupt like bad rotting meat. If you've ever smelled rotten meat, if you've ever had a freezer go bad and the meat that's inside all goes bad, Robin Thomas, who's on our staff, she said her daughter had a freezer go bad in their garage, and they didn't know about it till they began to smell it. And all the meat in there, deer meat, was rotten and had maggots in it. It was just sickening. Well, that's what God says as he looked down upon the earth. That's what he saw, because people had just given themselves over to sin, just rampant sin. And God destroyed that world with a flood, wiped them all out. Only 8 people were saved. He started over with 8 people. And then you have the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and Adma and Zeboim, called the cities of the plain. Well, we know why God did that, because he said they were the men of Sodom were wicked exceedingly, Genesis 13, and sinners against the Lord. And God sent 2 angels there to check it out, to see if it was as wicked as, and the way he puts it, you know, to see if this report is in fact the way it is. That's what he tells Abraham. And Abraham begins to intercede because he knows that there's a wicked city, and he knows his nephew Lot is there. And so he starts to say, well, God, you're not going to sweep away the righteous with the wicked. He says, suppose there are 50 righteous there in the city. You wouldn't destroy the city for 50 righteous. And the Lord said, no, if I can find 50 righteous, I won't destroy the city. He said, well, suppose the 50 are lacking 5. You wouldn't destroy the whole city because of the just lacking 5. He said, I'll not destroy it if I find 45 there. He says, what about 40? Oh, Lord, don't be angry. What about there's only 30? What about there's only 20? He says, what about there's only 10? And God keeps saying, well, I won't destroy it if I find 40, if I won't find 30, if I find 20. And Abraham says, oh, may the Lord not be angry, and I shall speak only this once. Suppose 10 are found there in 4 cities, thousands and thousands of people in 4 cities with thousands of people. What if you find 10 righteous? And God said, I will not destroy it on account of the 10. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and Adma and Zeboim. He saved Lot and his 2 daughters. His wife, Lot's wife, turned back. The angel told him, don't turn back. But she longed for the city of sin. It had so polluted her heart, and she was caught up in the judgment and was killed. She was turned into a pillar of salt. But God rained fire and brimstone on those cities from heaven, and it extinguished them and obliterated them. And Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 2, For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness, and did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, and if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ashes, having made them an example to those who would live ungodly lives thereafter. And if he rescued righteous Lot, oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men, for by what he saw and heard, that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day by their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. Hey, Sodom and Gomorrah, they serve as an example to those who would live ungodly thereafter. Now, what happens during Pride Month, Gay Pride Month, and the celebration of the LGBTQAI plus agenda and participants and community? Well, they're celebrating sin. And I ran across this. I couldn't believe it. Roman Catholic priest James Martin, well, I guess I can believe it, but he makes the case that we need to join in the celebration. Christians need to join in, and churches need to join in the celebration of Gay Pride Month. This is his reasoning.
Can Catholics celebrate Pride Month when the LGBTQ community marks its place in society, especially since pride is, after all, one of the seven deadly sins? Well, first of all, remember that there are two definitions of pride. The first is satisfaction that comes from your own accomplishments, which can morph into vanity, which is bad. But the second kind of pride is a consciousness of your own dignity. And that's closer to what Pride Month represents, a celebration of the human dignity of a group of people who have been for so long treated like dirt. And for the religious person, it's a celebration of them as beloved children of God. It's especially important for churches to celebrate pride, since a great deal...
A celebration of beloved children of God. Well, that's a problem right there, because, you know, you're not born a child of God. You're born again to become a child of God. And one of the problems that people have, we contend earnestly for the faith, according to Jude. That's what our job is as Christians, to fight for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. But when you start believing that everyone is a child of God, we're all children of God, well, that is wrong. We're not. We forget what Jesus said to those Jews that were arguing with him. And they said, Jesus said, if you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father. They said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father. Now, born of fornication, that's a slam against Jesus, because no doubt news had gotten around that Mary and Joseph were not married. And they can do the math, you know, they could do the math in the first century and figured out, well, wait a minute, when they got married, she was already pregnant. We were not born of fornication, they said. We have one father, even God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and have come from God, for I have not come on my own initiative, but he who sent me. Why do you not understand what I'm saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You, John 8:44, are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies, and he is your father. You are of your father, the devil. Hey, how does a person become a child of God? By receiving Jesus Christ. And that's how you are saved, and that's how you are born into the family of God. That's how you become a child of God. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that we were all dead in our trespasses and sins. and we were children of wrath, even as the rest. This Catholic priest, hey, we ought to celebrate with those children of God who have been treated so poorly. They're celebrating sin. They're embracing sin and celebrating sin. No true child of God can do that. Listen, God is the one who defines morality, and we have more to say about that. You're listening to Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're up against a break, but we're coming back in 3 minutes.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and we're talking about fighting for the faith, fighting for the truth. I did an interview yesterday on a radio station in Buffalo, New York, and it also went into Canada, and they were asking me about the book, The Devil's Newsroom. And they said, why did you write that book? And I said, well, it's very important that people know the truth. Unbelievers need to know the truth, and believers need to be reminded of the truth so that we can walk in the truth. I told the interviewer, I said, you know, 1 John chapter 1 just becomes more and more pertinent and relevant for today. As John says, this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, guess what? We lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. One another is not you having fellowship with me, but you and I having fellowship with God. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So God is light. We have to walk in the light as believers. We have to deal with the sins in our own lives. We have to keep bringing those before the Lord, confessing those as sin, and saying, Lord, I want to walk with you. As I've said before, and I heard this from John MacArthur, I loved it. God is not so interested in the perfection of your life, but he's very, very interested in the direction of your life. And so if we're going to walk with Jesus, a walk with Jesus is a walk in the light, and you have to deal with sin, because as David said in the book of Psalms, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I can't pray. I can't walk with God if I'm letting sin foul and fester and I'm not dealing with it in my life. And so I have to confess that to God. The one who covers his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. So we have to continually confess our sins to the Lord. Then it goes on to say this, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. Well, I haven't sinned. I haven't done anything wrong. Well, yeah, you have. We're deceiving ourselves. That's really bad when you start deceiving yourself. And then it says, if we confess our sins, you agree with God. You don't argue with God. Oh, that's not really a sin. You agree with God. Homologeo, that's the word for confession. We confess our sins. We say, God, you're right. What I did was sinful. It was wrong. Then he is faithful and just, faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, no matter what it might be, no matter how horrible it might be. He'll cleanse you from all of that. Then the last verse in chapter 1 of 1 John, if we say that we have not sinned. So first it's we have no sin, but now we say, no, I have not sinned. We make him a liar, and his word is not in us. What do we see at Gay Pride Month? People marching and saying, we have not sinned. This is the way God made us. Psalm 12, verse 8, the wicked strut about on every side when vileness is exalted among the sons of men. That's what Gay Pride Month is. It's just exalting vileness among the sons of men. It's blowing God off, saying, well, God, I don't care what you say about this subject. I'm going to do what I want to do. It's shaking your puny little fist in the face of God and waving your rainbow flag, which should be a reminder to you that God destroyed the ancient world with a flood because of blatant sin. Because people were doing exactly what you're doing now if you're one of those participating and waving the flag and cheering and strutting about on every side. Listen, God defines, He decides, He defines what is moral and what is not, what is right and what is wrong. And His throne is established on righteousness. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne, it says in the book of Psalms. Loving kindness and truth go before you. God's throne is established on righteousness. What is the word that is said in heaven? Continually, day and night, they do not cease to say, the angels at the throne of God, holy, 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 is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. God is totally without sin. And the law of God is rooted in the character and nature of God. When God gave the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, He's not just willy-nilly coming up with things that, well, I'm going to throw this law out there and throw that law out there. You know, you have the vertical commandments between us and the Lord. I'm the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me, no idol worship. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. And then remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So those are the four commandments that are vertical. And then we go horizontal. Commandment number 5, honor your father and your mother that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Honoring your parents is very, very important. You know, that it may go well with you, that your days may be prolonged. You can shorten your life if you dishonor your father and your mother. And then commandment number 6, you shall not murder. Well, why is that? Is that just a willy-nilly command? No. It's an important command. It's rooted in the heart and in the fabric of who God is. God does not murder. And incidentally, it's impossible for God to murder because God is the giver of life. And so the giver of life, he doesn't have to take anyone's life. He just has to stop giving you life. You know, it's kind of like by God's, think about it this way, if a person by His grace and by His kindness sends you $10,000 every month, you don't do anything for it, He just sends you that money. Well, if He stops sending it to you, did He do you wrong? No, you didn't deserve it in the first place. And He can stop anytime He wants to. God cannot commit murder because all souls belong to God, and He can call in our lease on life anytime He wants. But we can't commit murder because we're not God. And so you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. Well, adultery is taking someone else's wife. It's violating the commands that God has set up for moral purity. You shall not steal. Why shouldn't we steal? Because that's foreign to the heart and character of God. God would never do that. That is wrong to take something that doesn't belong to you. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Well, the Lord is truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And so lying, you're never more like the devil than when you lie. And you're never more aligned with God than when you tell the truth. And so that's what this program today is all about, fighting for the faith, fighting for the truth of God's Word. We are to speak the truth in love to a lost and dying world. Now, in that interview I had yesterday with Neil was the interviewer's name. We had a really good conversation. He was a good interviewer. But we talked about the importance of the gospel. You know, it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the disciples were asking Jesus before he ascended to heaven, Lord, is it at this time that you're going to set up your kingdom? And, you know, they were thinking the kingdom was coming at any moment, so they thought it must be now. Lord, is it at this time you're restoring the kingdom to Israel? And he said, it's not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. Now, I contend that that is our number one job on planet Earth, is to be his witnesses. That's why we're here. And now there's one thing you can do on Earth that you can't do in heaven. Well, two things I can think of. You can't sin in heaven, and you can't witness in heaven. Everybody in heaven is a believer. But on Earth, we have to fight against sin. As Paul said, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death? I mean, we deal with the world, the flesh, and the devil as believers on planet Earth. But we witness and we tell people about Jesus, who is mighty to save. And we preach the good news. That's what gospel means, good news, euangelion, the good news. But here's the thing. The good news, Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He was buried. He rose from the dead on the third day, and he offers salvation to anyone who will repent and believe. That's the good news of the gospel. But here's the problem people have. They don't believe the bad news. And the good news has a prerequisite. Remember when you were in college or in school where you couldn't take this course until you took a prerequisite course? You know, in seminary, you can't take New Testament Greek 1 until you take baby Greek, introduction to Greek. And that's not even a class where you get credit for it. But you have to take that class, introduction to Greek, before you can take Greek 1. Well, you have to understand the bad news before the good news makes sense. And the bad news is, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. We're in trouble. If we don't do anything, we're going to die and go to hell, because every person is born on the highway to hell. Think about John 3:16, the most familiar verse, perhaps, in all of the Bible. For God so loved the world, that's you and me and everyone else, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You have to believe in Jesus so you don't perish. What do you have to do to perish? Nothing. You just keep going in the direction you're going. He who believes in him is not judged, it goes on to say, but he who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. For the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Wow, those are sobering words. Hey, we are born dead in sin. We're not children of God. We're children of wrath, and we're on the highway to hell. And here's the good news. The Lord doesn't want any of us to go to hell. He sent Jesus not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And so if you repent and believe on Jesus, who died on the cross for your sins and rose again from the dead, you pass out of death into life. And there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and of death. Now, you have preachers today that, just like this Catholic guy, you know, we're all children of God. No, we're not. We're not. Oh, we're all good people. No, we're not. Jesus said there is none righteous, not even one. The Lord says that in his word. He said to the rich young ruler who said, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said, why do you call me good? There is none good except God alone. Now, Jesus wasn't saying he wasn't God. Perhaps he was saying to that guy, hey, do you understand that I am God? Is that why you're calling me good? Because the only one who is good is God. Everyone else is a sinner in desperate need of a Savior. And our job on this earth is to witness, to tell people, hey, number one, you need to understand that you're in trouble. You're not all right. You know, there was a book out, I'm Okay, You're Okay. My pastor, when I was in college, Dr. Harold O'Chester, he preached a sermon one time, says, I'm okay, you're okay, bull. You're not okay, and I'm not okay, and we're sinners in the hands of an angry God. And it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Our God is a consuming fire, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews. And so we have to recognize, hey, we're in trouble. Lord, save me. Forgive me. God, have mercy on me. As Bartimaeus said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And anyone who cries out, recognizes his own sinfulness and cries out to the Lord will be saved. Hey, certain persons have crept into the church unnoticed. And what do? They turn the grace of God into a license to sin and deny our only master, the Lord Jesus, our only Savior, the Lord Jesus. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and we're talking about fighting for the faith, fighting for the truth, and we need to stand in the gap and pray, and we need to stand up and speak the truth in love. When we come back from the break, we're going to take your calls. I would love to hear from you. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a brief testimony, I would love to hear from you. The number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. It's always a joy to hear from listeners. So if you're thinking about calling in and saying, well, they don't want to hear from me, we would like to hear from you. So give me a call and let's talk. Because of the generous donations provided from listeners just like you, Preborn has rescued over 330,000 babies. But every day, the abortion industry is taking thousands of babies' lives. We have to save them. So please donate your best gift to save more babies at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We've been talking about Jude chapter 1, verse 3, fighting for the faith. Jude says, hey, I wanted to write to you. I wanted to encourage you and write about our common salvation. But I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith, that you fight for the faith, for the truth that was once for all handed down to the saints. The truth and the faith is under attack because certain persons have crept in unnoticed. They're in our churches. They're like termites. They're eating the fabric away. You know, it's one thing when the church deals with persecution from without. We do pretty well with persecution. The church flourishes in persecution. But when there's infiltration, when there's the false brothers, as the Bible calls them, that come in, that preach another Jesus whom we have not preached, that lead people astray, that turn the grace of our God into a license to sin and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ, those are the ones who cause such damage. And we have to keep holding up the truth of God. That's why I wrote the book, The Devil's Newsroom, Muting Satan's False News, Fake News, and tuning into God's truth, because it's the truth that sets us free. And truth is not what you think. It's not what you want it to be. It's not what you feel. Truth is what God says. Jesus said in John 17, verse 17, in his great high priestly prayer, "Father, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." And so we cling to the Word of God and align our lives by the Word of God and continue to deal with sin in our own life so that we can walk in the light with Jesus. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, 589-8840, and I'd love to hear from you. And by the way, if you'd like to get a copy of The Devil's Newsroom, I'd love for you to pick one up. I don't make any money off of anything that I write. I do it for From His Heart Ministries. I'm a volunteer for From His Heart Ministries. Started the ministry in late 2004, so we just celebrated 20 years of ministry. And it's been a joy and a privilege and an honor to get to preach and share the Word of God around the nation and around the world. But you can pick up that book, The Devil's Newsroom, at thedevilsnewsroom.com or fromhisheart.org. You can go online there, and we'd love to send it to you. You can go on Amazon, and Amazon's really maybe the best place to get it, because more and more people go to Amazon. And we want to encourage you, if you do get a copy of the book, we'd love for you to go on Amazon and give us a review, because those make a big difference as people consider buying a book. And I trust you'll see that book is in hardback form. It's also in Audible. I read the book. But I trust you'll see that will, friends, neighbors, loved ones, people who don't know Christ, they will be confronted with the truth as they read The Devil's Newsroom. Well, 888-589-8840, and we have Wayne on the line from West Virginia. Wayne, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. You mentioned 1 John 1:8, so we know we're all susceptible to sin, as you mentioned here 2 or 3 weeks ago, Robert Morse. So we know that gay people, a lot of them, have been saved. But my question is, what if they, over a period of 5 or 10 years, fall back into their abominable lifestyle and remain that way, unrepentant, until they die? Will they inherit the kingdom of God?
Yes, good question, Wayne. So anybody can fall into terrible, horrible sin. Lot is a good example. Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom, and the men of Sodom were wicked exceedingly as sinners against the Lord, and yet he still went in that direction. Lot is an example. He's called a righteous man in 2 Peter chapter 2, but he's an example of a carnal Christian. And Lot ends up losing everything. He's a picture of a guy at the judgment seat of Christ who sees his whole life just burn up. And all that Lot worked for in Sodom was incinerated, and he brings out 2 daughters, and those daughters are so polluted by the sinfulness of the cities that they lived in, the city of Sodom and the surrounding cities, that they end up having an incestual relationship or a one-night stand with their father and are impregnated by him. It's a horrible story. But Lot was truly saved. So a person who's truly saved, she can do some terrible things. But we're not saved by works. We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus. Now, here's the problem that we have, Wayne. It's hard for us to tell that. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, they went out from us, but they were not really of us, because if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out in order that it might be shown that they are all not of us. Actually, 1 John 2:19. So somebody that goes into that lifestyle and goes whole hog into that lifestyle and is unrepentant in that lifestyle, it's hard for us to know. And they say, well, I've been saved and this is just what I want to do. That's hard for us to know. The Lord knows those who are His. The Bible says in 2 Timothy, and so we don't know, but He knows. And from the outside looking in, Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruits. And so if your fruit If the fruit of your life is all the deeds of the flesh, immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarned you, just as I have also forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That just means if the deeds of the flesh characterize your life, guess what? You've never truly been saved. So it's just hard for us to know if a true believer is just caught up in sin, or if that person was a make believer. He was a pretender. He was a person who heard the gospel, but it didn't really stick, and it wasn't united by faith in those who heard. So that would be my answer to that, Wayne. We can't tell from the outside looking in. It appears that they're not a Christian, but we know from Scripture that salvation is forever. And so if a person is truly saved, they're saved forever, even if they fall into terrible, horrible sin.
But Lot was not, he did not commit those sins listed in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11.
Well, he
tells you those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Right, and such were some of you. It goes on to say, no, Lot didn't participate in those, but he allowed himself to be around those, and he chose to live there. Lot was a guy that was caught up in the love of money, and that's why he chose for himself to go toward the cities of the plain, because it was well watered everywhere, and he knew that his flocks and herds could do well there. And so he made a terrible decision to do that. So he wasn't eaten up with sexual immorality, but he was eaten up with materialism and the love of money, even though he was a believer. So, you know, people have different sins for different people. Homosexuality is not the unpardonable sin, but it is a deep sin, and it is an unnatural sin. And those that cling to that, you know, you can't cling to any sin and be right with God. And, you know, we can get deceived into things even as believers, but we're going to be convicted. Lot was convicted. He felt his righteous soul tormented day after day by their lawless deeds. I think the thing is, Wayne, if somebody is truly a believer, they're going to feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and it's just going to be terrible for them. They're not going to have any peace at all until they get right with God. But I appreciate your call. I appreciate the question. Thank you so much. We have Brad on the line from Texas. Brad, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, Pastor Jeff.
Hi.
I was introduced to your program by my wife, and since that happened, I've listened, and I really appreciate what you do, and I love your show.
Thank you.
My question is, in Genesis, and I'm not as good with the Bible as you, obviously, but in Genesis it says we were made in the image of God. Mm-hmm. And my question is, because he says that, I'm having a little trouble with we're not all children of God. I mean, because mm-hmm. Jesus tells us over and over we're to love our neighbor.
Right.
So, can you expound on that a little bit for me?
Sure. So every person is created in the image of God, and they're valuable to God, and God loves them. But we are, because of the sin, the old saying says, in Adam's fall, we sinned all. And when Adam and Eve sinned against God, their eyes were opened. They knew that they were naked. They fell from their relationship with God, and they died. You know, Jesus, the Lord said to them, in the day you eat of the fruit and disobey me, you will surely die. And they did die. But you got to remember that man is a house of three rooms. He's spirit and soul and body, as it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And so where did Adam die? Where did Eve die? They died in their spirit, and it's in their spirit where they were connected to God. their soul, you know, the difference between body, soul, and spirit. With my body, I know the world beneath me, the physical world. With my soul, I know the world around me, the psychological world. But with my spirit, I know the world above me, the spiritual world. And that's where they died. Immediately, just like God said. Now, they died instantly in their spirit, they died progressively in their soul, they died ultimately in their body, and one day they were put into the ground because they died. And that's what they passed along to all their children. We're all, you know, you run it back up the family tree, we all come from Adam and Eve. And, you know, we all come from Noah and Mrs. Noah, because everything, God wiped everybody out, and they, you know, you come there and then you go up, you know, to the very first two people. So we're all from Adam and Eve. Well, Adam and Eve passed on a dead spirit to all their children. And that's why the Bible says we're dead in our trespasses and sins, and we're under the wrath of God, children of wrath, even as the rest. Now, that doesn't change the fact that we're made in the image of God, but what it says is we're in trouble because we have to be born again. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Truly, I say to you, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Now, Nicodemus didn't understand what that meant. He's the teacher of Israel. He said, born again? How is that? How can a man enter into his mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus said, I'm not talking to you about physical things. I'm talking to you about spiritual things. So a man is physically born and he needs to be spiritually born. And that's what happens when we turn our lives over to Jesus. And that's why God sent his son, not to redeem the animal world. He sent his son to die on the cross for your sins and mine, to redeem those who were created in his image. Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the moment that a person does, that person becomes a child of God, also a saint of God, which is he belongs to the Lord. Does that help explain that a little bit?
Yes, sir. So basically, if I could just recap here real quick, to be a child of God, you must give your heart to the Lord and be and live your life in his ways. Otherwise, you're just going through the motions and you're not really a child of God. Because a child of God doesn't necessarily mean, okay, you're born, God loves us all. A child of God is somebody who devotes their life to Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit.
Right. Well, and a child of God is somebody that understands, hey, I'm a sinner and I need Jesus. I'm a hopeless, helpless sinner. There's nothing I can do in and of myself to make myself right with God. The chasm between me and God is like larger than the Grand Canyon. And just like nobody can broad jump the Grand Canyon, nobody can make himself right with God. And that's why salvation is a gift. It's a free gift of God. For by grace, God's unmerited favor, you've been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, lest anyone should boast. So it's all by grace through faith. And so we just say, Lord, I need you. You died for me. I put my faith and trust in you. I turn from sin and selfishness, and I want you to be my king, my master, my savior, my God. And when we do that, Brad, then he saves us, and we become his child. And we pass out of death into life, the scripture says, and he delivers us from the domain of darkness and transfers us into the kingdom of his beloved son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So great, great question, Brad. I hope that's helpful. You can always reach me at PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org, PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. If you have questions or comments, I'd love to hear from you. And go to thedevilsnewsroom.com and check out the book, The Devil's Newsroom. I think it'll be a blessing to you. I'm sorry, May and Mary, we didn't get to you or Frank, but thank you so much for calling in. And Brad, thanks for calling in. Hey, go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.